Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1963. The topic is in-depth, and the title is, I love working out, but I can't stop eating. A friend and listener of the podcast sent in a funny meme and this general topic. I thought it was probably relatable to a lot of people, and therefore I would share some tips on how to manage that hunger in today's podcast. Now, when we think of this, like I love to work out, but I can't stop eating. Commonly, when I work with people and their goals are to want to drop body fat, or they want to build muscle, or they want to get stronger, they want to become more athletic, they want to become a better runner, whatever it might be, often most people are consistent with exercise and training. We have to make some tweaks often to what they do, but they're consistent with exercise and training. What they're not consistent with is the nutrition. They want progress, therefore they're willing to bust their butt, go to the gym, work out, do the activity. However, the nutrition is kind of what sets them back. Now, when we think of nutrition, most people believe that they're not getting the results they want because of overeating. You may have a struggle with controlling the sensation of always wanting to eat more, and you believe that that is holding you back. So I wanted to cover in today's podcast 10 tips on how we can better control our hunger. The first tip is, are you eating enough? When you think you're overeating, and therefore you have this craving to just keep eating. You believe you reached your daily target, you've eaten all you should, but you're still hungry, you kind of graze, you pick away at things all throughout the day. You have this sense of, I love working out, but I can't stop eating. This sense of overeating. Often, people actually aren't eating enough. And the signal that they're getting is their body telling them, in a sense, you're not eating enough, I need more. Now, even if we're aiming for fat loss, there is an appropriate degree of deficit, meaning the amount that we should eat under our maintenance calories, there's a range that is optimal. Generally, you want to be at least at some, like say 1% decrease under maintenance. Obviously, you want to be more than that, but you have to be somewhat under maintenance calories. Now, the further down you go, it doesn't lead to faster fat loss. There's a term called basal metabolic rate or resting metabolic rate. That's the amount of calories we burn by simply being alive. If you were to be alive, laying in bed with your eyes closed, there's an amount of calories that you burn just to run your organs, do daily functions, keep you alive. That's attributable to around 70% of your total daily intake. If you consume less than 70%, often, in order for that to be productive, you have to have some kind of chemical help. You have to be taking an HCG shot. You have to be taking something else that's an appetite suppressant. You have to be taking a drug, usually for that to have an effect in regards to like a short-term effect, something that works for a month or 2 months or 3 months or even up to 6 months. You're not going to be able to sustain that long-term. Eventually, you'll have to stop using the drug, or eventually the body will fight and win if you're in too severe of a deficit. So let's say you go up to a 30% deficit below maintenance, meaning you're eating only at resting metabolic rate. You can do that for a short period of time, and then there becomes complications. The body starts to adjust and allocate less calories to non-essential functions. This is why when people start to cut calories and they cut them too severely for too long, their hair will start to thin out. Their skin will start to become dry. We lose some non-essential functionality. Our body just basically slows those processes down to use less calories so it can reduce how significant your deficit is. So you might start a diet with, say, 50% maintenance calories. So you're too severe in a deficit, but it's working great, losing a lot of weight right away. The body adjusts, and then all of a sudden it brings the maintenance down 10%. It brings the maintenance calories down another 10%. Then all of a sudden you're actually only in a 30% deficit because the body has learned to use less calories. So typically, the range that we want to be at for an appropriate caloric deficit is going to be somewhere between 10 to 20% reduction from what we believe our maintenance calories are. If you're eating too far under that, and you're experiencing this hunger all the time, this insatiable hunger, this grazing, the eating a little bit extra here and there, even though you know you shouldn't, meaning you're eating when you know you shouldn't, but you feel like you have to, you may actually be in too severe of a deficit. So it's not that you have a willpower problem. It's not that you have an eating problem. You're not overeating. You're actually undereating, and the body's telling you, hey, this is too severe of a deficit. We do actually need more food. So if you want to find out if you're eating enough, you can go to our website, www.brutalirongym.com. Go to free nutrition education. The first document on that page is a link for creating your own nutrition program. You can actually find out how many calories you should be eating, how many grams of protein, the distribution of your calories and protein throughout the day. It's all the starting steps to creating your own nutrition program. So that way people can get started, get healthy, get happy. And then if they needed help beyond that, they can hire me for things like that. But I would rather provide what people need for free to at least get the ball rolling, to set it up in a healthy way. And then I get to come in and help on the four more like finer nuancey type stuff that's actually more interesting for me. So I actually don't mind giving away the free stuff of how to start nutrition programs because I want people to be able to take care of themselves and have that information available. So the first tip when you say, I love working out, but I can't stop eating is, are you eating enough? You might actually not be eating enough. The second tip we have is to increase activity to allow for the more food. So rather than trying to eat less, if your body's telling you that it likes all this food and it believes it needs this food, add more activity. Go for 10-minute walks. Those have become kind of popular in fitness media, mainstream media and social, whatever the heck all those terms are. So wherever people look to learn what they should do, those resources in those places, 10-minute walks after meals are helpful to help with digestion. And it gives you a little small chunks of activity to increase your general caloric activity. So you can add in extra walks. You can add in small body weight exercise like workouts. Even if it's just 10, 20 minutes, that's better than nothing. Even if it's only once or twice a week, that's better than nothing. But adding in general activity does help negate some of the additional calories, but it doesn't create this increased urge to eat even more. Whereas, say you're already training three, four, five intense, hard weight training workouts a week. Adding in more weight training that causes muscle tissue damage will actually increase the metabolic demand and actually make you even more hungry. But adding in walking doesn't really do that too much. You're going to have some increase of hunger due to walking, but usually you can add a couple thousand steps a day before your hunger really starts to peak or kind of start poking at you. So adding a little bit of non-muscle tissue damaging activity can help. And that way, you are burning through more of the calories that you're eating, and that helps, but without causing an increased demand for hunger. Whereas we said, if you added weight training resistance where it actually caused muscle tissue damage, then you're going to potentially even add more hunger when you're already struggling with that. So adding non-muscle damaging activity, if your schedule allows, you know, 5-minute walks here, 10-minute walks there, all the normal cliche, park in the back of the parking lot, take the steps instead of the elevator, all those normal things. Just adding in a little extra activity here and there, walk the dog, walk the cat, walk yourself, whatever it might be, can help. The third tip we have is to make sure that you're eating enough protein in your day. Your protein, and this is a general thing, I'm just going to throw out there for most people, your protein should be around 25 to 33% of your total caloric intake. Now, I know there are circumstances where that might not be true, but just to give you a ballpark, is we know that in general, most people, to have a healthy, fit, you know, life, healthy body, all that stuff, is 0.6 grams per pound of body weight. So we want to be eating around there as a baseline of protein. Now, within your normal caloric amount, meaning we don't add calories, but we replace carbs and fats with more protein. Maybe you go from eating 0.6 grams per pound of body weight to 0.8 grams per pound of body weight. That can help reduce daily hunger. You can also go, if maybe you're already at 0.8, you can go up to 1 gram per pound of body weight. Anything over that is arguably unnecessary, and you might have some other issues that you need to check out. So out of all the tips I'm going to give, if you're already eating 1 gram per pound of body weight, I'd probably look at the other tips before I kind of push this one. But having more protein, a higher protein percentage within your total caloric intake, up to 1 gram per pound of body weight, can help satiety, basically help you feel fuller at your meals, and therefore you won't feel as hungry in between the meals, and you won't feel like you need to eat so much. Another option we have is to check out your fat percentage. There is no perfect, like, optimal amount of fat that you should be having per day in regards to, if you think of, like, typical, like, food guide, like, FDA food guide regulations, that kind of stuff. They'll say it's, you know, 20% protein, 30% fat, 50% carbs, that kind of stuff. You do not need to have, like, a specific percentage of fats versus carbs throughout the day. You want to make sure you're having your minimum protein, which relative to body weight, but then the remaining calories can come from a mixture of carbs and fats, and it's more so better to decide based on per meal what you're doing at the time of the meal or going to be doing right after the meal. If you're eating right before a workout, high fats is often not great unless your like workout is really low intensity, long duration running. But if you're weight training, not the greatest idea. It can be done. There are tons of people who do keto workouts. I know that. But they've shown in studies, and people in general feel better when they're fueled with carbohydrates before weight training rather than fats. Can you get used to ketogenic? Yes, I've done ketogenic diets. I've worked out in keto state, like, you know, so you can do it. But in general, it's good to have an energy source that digests quickly and is readily available. I know you could use like MCT oil and all these things. There's a lot of tricks. But in general, you want to have carbohydrates at times of high activity or right before times of high activity, and then fats at times of low activity. So if you have a diet that's high carbs, high protein, and you notice you're hungry throughout the day, you have trouble controlling your hunger, swap some of the carbs for fats. Fats digest slower. They'll have a more steady release of energy and nutrients into the bloodstream, so your body won't send the demand of needing more as quickly after a meal of higher fat percentage than it would a meal of higher carb percentage. So that's something to consider. The fifth tip we have is to eat earlier in the day. If you are struggling with hunger in the afternoon and evening, it's likely that you're under-eating at the beginning of the day. I encourage all my clients and anybody that listens to me to break their awake part of the day into three sections of the day. So typically we sleep 6 to 8 hours a day. That means we're awake for 16 to 18 hours. So if we take the time that we're awake per day and say, okay, every 6 hours-ish, I'm going to have a third of my calories in protein. So the first 6 hours of being awake, a third of your calories in protein. The second 6 hours of being awake, a third of your calories in protein. The final amount of time of being awake, a third of your calories in protein. If you distribute your calories and protein out more evenly throughout the day, but you weren't previously doing that, it will absolutely help control hunger. The next tip we have is switching to more whole foods versus liquid foods. If you do a lot of liquid calories, they digest faster because they're basically pre-broken down. They're just in an easier digestible form, and our body doesn't register liquid calories at being as full, as making us as full as whole food calories. So if you were to drink something that's 500 calories versus eat something that's whole food 500 calories, you know, say, you know, a cup and a half or so of rice and some chicken breast, you're going to be fuller from that than you would from drinking a 500 calorie shake. Or maybe chicken breast and like 2 or 3 cups of vegetables. You're going to be fuller from that than you would be from drinking the shake. So that's something to consider, is if you have liquid calories Maybe swapping some of those out for whole food calories will help reduce hunger levels as well. The next option we have kind of pairs with this to some degree, is to select lower nutrient density foods. Meaning we want to try to aim for foods that you have to eat more of to get the same calories. So if you notice in the previous example, I switched rice and vegetables. It's easier to get an amount of calories out of rice than it is from vegetables in regards to the volume of food that you have to eat. Meaning one cup of rice might give me the same calories as 2 to 3 cups of a certain vegetable. Meaning I could be eating 2 to 3 cups of volume of that vegetables just to match the calories of one cup of rice. Another example is switching to lean meats. Maybe you use a fatty meat, but now all of a sudden you want to get the same calories from that meal, but you're going to select a lean meat, which means now you have to add additional food items to the meal in order to still hit your calorie target. So maybe you used to just have steak and asparagus. Okay, well, let me swap the steak for tilapia. Oh my, what am I going to have for fats now? So now I got to add something that replaces the fats that were missing from the steak with an actual external and additional whole food item that I can now add to the meal since I'm having a leaner protein. So that is a game you can start to play is if I feel really hungry after a certain meal, look at the foods of that meal. Are they a lot of calories for not a lot of volume of food? If so, that could be why you're getting so hungry so quickly. So select foods that have less calories per volume, meaning you have to eat even more of total volume of food. And then you'll find that you're not as hungry after that meal. So playing with nutrient density helps as well. Tip number 8 is, am I hungry or am I bored? You may be hungry because you're bored, or it's what you typically did. Maybe after dinner, you do a few chores, then you sit on the couch, and you sit on the couch and watch TV for an hour and a half, 2 hours. Maybe you used to have a snack during that time, but now you've been trying to cut back on calories, you're trying to eat more during the day, you're getting to that time at night where, okay, I've eaten the calories I need. I know the calories are correct because I went through step one of all these tips. Tip number one. I know my calories are correct. I know I've eaten the right amount of calories, but I'm still hungry. Well, that's when I would ask, are you hungry or are you bored? Or is this just a habit? Do you normally watch TV and eat? If so, you might be having the urge to eat simply because that's what you normally do, not that your body actually needs the food. There's a hard distinction between those two for some people is, am I bored or am I hungry? So that's where it's helpful to, if you are tracking or accounting for your calories, it can be helpful to know that and know exactly what your calories are. So that way you can know relative to where you should be, you know, am I 500 calories under for the day and that's why I'm hungry? Or am I at the calories I'm supposed to be at? And I feel hungry, but now maybe I'm realizing, actually, I'm just bored. So tracking some of your data actually really helps because then it helps you better understand the feelings you're having. And you can better learn how to control food through your emotional control and by knowing the data and how that relates to how you feel. Tip number 9 is to drink more fluids between meals. Stay hydrated. You might not like to drink a lot of fluid when you eat. That can cause digestive issues for some people. But drinking more fluid, staying hydrated throughout the day, can actually reduce hunger because your stomach just feels fuller by having liquid in it. So you want to obviously drink something that's no to low, super low calories. So that way you're not trying to drink more and all of a sudden you're jacking up your calorie count. But drinking more fluid between meals can help you feel fuller. It can actually improve digestion. It helps kind of keep everything in the works moving and doing what it should do. So it can actually help bathroom regularity and lower bloating and helps with a lot of things. But that's something to consider as well, is if you don't drink a lot of fluid throughout the day, drinking more between meals can help maybe control hunger. How much fluid should you be drinking? The general recommendation of a baseline is 0.5 ounces per pound of body weight. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you're aiming for 100 ounces a day. more active you are, the more you should have, the more muscle tissue you have, the more you should have. So if you're not somebody who drinks a lot of fluid, it might take you time to work up to 0.5 ounces per pound of body weight, but it gives you a ballpark of where to go for. And then tip number 10 is to help with portion control, to ask yourself when you think, I'm hungry, oh, I want to eat this food, to ask yourself, do I want this food or do I need this food? It's an interesting question because often we are tempted by wants. We see a commercial and it makes us think of something we have in the cabinet, food pantry, and now all of a sudden we want a snack on those chips or a bowl of ice cream or whatever snacky crap you have around the house, whatever it might be. So you might have a desire for a food. One of the things you can ask yourself to help control whether you eat that food or not is, do I want this food or do I need this food? An example that hits home for me is I really like ice cream. Ice cream is like my favorite treat. Whenever I was really overwhelmed with the business, when I was working at the gym, training people 10 to 12 hours on my feet, face to face every day, and I was training 50 plus hours a week, plus cleaning the gym, doing all the writing programs for people, and everything that you could think you could do to run a business, I was sleeping at the gym more than I was sleeping at home. So I was just overwhelmed. And one of the things I started getting in a bad habit of was at the end of the day, I would train my last client till 7 or 8 at night. I would then hurry up and try to do my workout before I sat down, because if I sat down, there's no way I was getting back up. So I would train myself. I would get done at, say 9 to 10, but I still had a whole lot of paperwork I had to do, and I had like financial crap. And I was like, man, I'm going to be awake for another 2 or 3 hours. Let me go grab something real quick. So I got in a bad habit of going and getting like a pint of ice cream, and then I would eat the ice cream and then do the paperwork. And it became almost like a treat. And I was rationalizing it. I'm like, well, I just finished working out. I was standing all day, so I know my glycogen stores are low. So if I eat the ice cream, it's really going to store glycogen before it stores body fat, blah, 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 blah. So you're rationalizing, all that crap to yourself. But really, at the end of the day, I was using ice cream as an emotional soothing tool, meaning I'm overwhelmed, I'm stressed, the day was chaos. Let me just sit for a second, take a deep breath, eat something that tastes good. So I started realizing, I probably don't need a pint of ice cream 5 or 6 or even 7 days a week. So I was like, what I didn't like was I could feel that it wasn't a choice made out of what's optimal. It was a choice made out of something that just comforted me. However, that comfort was going to hurt me in the long run. Ice cream is not the greatest thing to eat. And it's just, there are better options. There are options that would have given me a higher protein count. There are options that would have given me a better rate of digestion. And therefore, I would have woken up the next day with more energy to start into my morning clients. There were better options. But I was choosing ice cream because I wanted it, not because it was what I needed. I remember asking myself, dude, you know better than this. Let's kind of catch ourselves. Let's check ourselves. And let's eat more of what we need, not what we want. So I actually told myself I would avoid ice cream. I would not have ice cream for a whole year. Now, I don't believe that you have to be that restrictive, but it works well for me. So for a year, I gave up ice cream. And it actually was bad enough, like at first, where I would go to the grocery store. I would just walk down the ice cream aisle. I would look at the different ice creams and remember what they tasted like. So one of my favorite is like a white chocolate raspberry truffle. And I was standing there and I'm looking at that container going, I know what you taste like. If I eat you right now, it would taste good. But I would then be mad at myself. So I remember what you taste like. I'm fine. If I don't eat ice cream today, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to be miserable. I will still have lived a good life. So I was like, okay. And I would move on. But I would actually go and stand in the ice cream aisle and imagine the flavors of the ice creams. Because it was a habit. It was something I had to break. And that takes time. It takes being weird and standing in an ice cream aisle for 5 minutes. It was just a habit that I had to work on controlling my emotional response to. And it worked great. I actually don't eat ice cream too often anymore because it doesn't fit my goals. But recognizing that if I want it, sure, I can have it. You know, if my wife and I want to go to Sweet Frog sometime because we're out and about and we have a couple extra bucks and we want to have a treat, hell yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm not going to get mad at myself because I'm choosing it when I want to have it, not that it feels like an emotional need to have, if that makes sense. So when I say that the idea of do I want this or need this, it more so means am I eating this food because I just want it? Meaning it's not what's optimal for me. I just want it. Versus, am I eating this food because I actually need the calories? Does it have the right percentage of protein? And is it at the right time of the day for me? So if I'm going to eat something, say, okay, am I eating just to eat? Or do I actually need something? And what do I need right now? Do I need something with more protein? Do I need something that's slower digesting? And then having the willpower, having the mental control to select the thing that's a better option, not just something that I want. So that's kind of a double check for yourself, is if you're struggling with overeating and you perceive you're overeating, you've already gone through all these other 9 steps. The 10th tip is to just ask yourself, am I eating this because I want it, or am I eating this because it's what's best for me? And if I am hungry, let me aim for what's best for me first, see if that satisfies everything, before I eat something that isn't best for me and I just kind of want it, but I know it's not actually what I should have. So those are the 10 tips. I'm going to run through them again. Are you eating enough? Increasing non-muscle damaging activity to allow for more food intake. Increasing protein percentage. Increasing fat percentage. Eating earlier in the day. Switching to more whole foods versus liquid foods. Selecting lower nutrient density foods. Asking yourself, am I hungry or am I bored? Drinking more fluids between meals. And then to help with portion control, to ask yourself, do I just want this or do I actually need this? So those are 10 tips that if you love working out but you can't stop eating, these are 10 tips that will help you have a little more control, a little better understanding as to the sensations you're having around hunger. Awesome. If you need anything, make sure you check out our website. We have a ton of free information on there. We also have our one-on-one services. So, for example, I help people with nutrition coaching. It's $100 a month if you just want nutrition coaching. And I'll write everything personalized for you. I'll help with weekly check-ins. We go through education. I actually go into persons like Nutrition Tracker if they use an app like that. I'll look and see what they eat each day, give them feedback individual days. It's a really great, very personalized service. So you'll learn more about that on the website if you are interested. Okay. If you have any questions, you can always reach out on the website as well. On the bottom of the homepage, we have a contact form. You can send me any questions you want. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name of Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.